A new bus on Oahu's roadways is turning some heads. It's a second electric bus that's in use on the island. Earlier this month, the state announced it's testing out a different version at the airport terminal. We talked with Oahu Transit Services head, Roger Morton, about the goal to go with an all-electric fleet by the year 2035. Let's jump on board that bus and see what people think.
Is this the electric bus?
Yeah. It's an electric bus.
That's so neat. It's beautiful inside.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I like it.
You know, the seats are higher. It's easier to get up, especially here.
Oh, you know.
But I like it. Look at the wider walkway for people to get on and off. It's way nicer.
Yeah.
Wider door.
I like that one.
No, it's about the same. But look at the doors are way wider. Actually, it looks more roomy.
Yes, we have a bus from a company called BYD, Build Your Dreams. It's a Chinese company, and we're testing it this month. Last month, we tested a Proterra bus, and we are working with a third manufacturer to develop even a third bus. At this point, we're in a learning mode. We want our employees to learn how the bus works, our drivers, our mechanics, our management folks. We're in a real learning mode right now. We can see what kind of performances we can get from these vehicles. Will they save us money in the long run? All of those things are the mode that we're in right now.
And you're testing them out on different routes?
Yes, we're testing them island-wide. And that means that's a challenge for us, too, because we have to train up about 45 of our operators on the specifics of how to operate this particular bus. Now, it operates pretty much like a regular bus, but there are different screens. There's the concepts like state of charge, and there's other things like that. So our drivers require about half an hour of training before we can put them on a road.
And what's the initial feedback from bus riders?
From bus riders, has been positive. We've had a few comments about a few things, but it has been, you know, most people are excited because it's a quiet vehicle. I mean, I think it's going to be huge for our little highly, dense neighborhoods, that we can have a vehicle that is much, much more quiet than the vehicles we operate today. So that's that. My drivers have been generally very excited about the new vehicle, very supportive, and haven't heard anything negative about the vehicles yet. And frankly, it's exceeded our expectations.
And are you trying them on hills?
Yes, we're trying them all over. We're trying them on hills. We did have, these things are programmatically set up to try to conserve energy. And on one occasion, when we were sending it up a long grade on H2, it didn't quite perform the way we did, but that's something that can be programmatically changed. And we have one vehicle, and it's sort of set for the mainland right now, and we have not tried to figure out the best pattern and the best settings for our island environment.
What about the capacity? Does it hold fewer riders or more?
It's about the same. I mean, we have about 37, 38 seats on a regular bus, and we have 37, 38, 39 on electric bus. So it's about the same size. One of the issues for us, and this is a little bit different, is range. Range on an electric bus is not quite as long and as durable as range on a diesel bus. And that has implications to the way we would schedule our employees to drive the buses in the future.
And then what about savings?
Well, there are savings from can come from really two sources. One place is energy costs, and we're using about 2 to 2.1 kilowatt hours per mile right now, and so if we were spending 20 cents per kilowatt hour, that would be about 42 cents. It costs us about 75 cents per mile for diesel. So that's one area of saving. Second area, which we have to see where it comes from, is in the area of maintenance. These vehicles don't have any oil, therefore you don't have to change the oil or the transmission fluid. Electric motors generally are much more reliable than diesel engines or internal combustion engines. And a lot of that will just come down to how well are these manufacturers putting the bus together, because traction is an important part of it, but there are other things too. Do the doors operate right? Are the braking systems, do they take as much effort, and so on? Again, so far we have been pleasantly surprised at how things have gone for us.
Right, but I'm sure there's also the question of, do we have the personnel, trained personnel, to fix these things when they break?
Yeah, that's true, and training will always be an important thing for us. But, you know, we do have electric vehicles that are operating now. The difference is that our latest generation of hybrid buses puts a generator on the bus, but the bus itself is all electric. So our folks have been dealing with, you know, 500 volts, systems for some couple of years now in our current buses. This is, if you look at it, this is like replacing that onboard generator that we use now with diesel with batteries. But beyond that part, the rest of the bus looks pretty much the same. It's electric motor, electric air conditioner, electric doors. All of those things we've already gone through them with our hybrid electric buses.
Right. We used to have electric streetcars way back when.
starting in 1901, we had electric streetcars. The last one came out in 1941, just before the war. After that, we had electric trolley buses. Those are rubber-wheeled vehicles that ran on two wires, overhead wires, and those went out in the 50s. So we've had a rich history of some electric vehicles, and I guess things come around and they come around again and again. So now I think what's changed has been battery technology, and this is a game changer, is this the new technology batteries that have been developed. Some of them lithium ion, that's what our Proterra bus was, lithium iron phosphate, that's what the BYD bus is operating on. But it's the battery technology that has enabled us to get to where we're at right now.
And then you mentioned that this particular bus was manufactured by a Chinese company?
A Chinese company, but manufactured and assembled in California. This BYD is by far the largest manufacturer of electric vehicles. In fact, in Shenzhen, there are 16,000 vehicles in that one region alone, 16,000 BYD electric vehicles. So it is by far the largest manufacturer of vehicles. The American companies, Proterra, and the other companies are definitely in catch-up mode. Part of that is because in America, we just don't have the demand for public transit buses that they have in China. So that's been a factor. But I would say across the country, in almost all cities, they are now beginning to look at electric vehicles because they're now possible.
And are there any issues related to the union as far as switching over to these buses and any training that might have to undergo?
Well, we've obviously met with the union a number of times to get their input about how this has happened. The unions normally would look toward their member employees to see if there were issues. So far, I'm not aware of any issues that have come up over electrification of that. I don't expect any. So far, I guess the mode for most employees is excitement at this point. I haven't heard anything negative at all from the union.
Okay, so the question still remains is then the charging infrastructure in order to get these buses juiced up.
Yeah, and that'll be a huge, huge issue, because we have 550 buses right now. That's probably onboard storage about the same as the island of Kauai. So, I mean, it is a lot of energy. And to get all that energy to the right place and all at the right time, and to do it, will be a monumental task. And there are really two modes of operation for these vehicles. One of them is called opportunistic charging. And that is, if you can envision it, the bus goes back and forth, and at the end of each trip, when the driver takes a break, it gets charged right there for about 10 minutes. And then that's good for about another hour of operation. So that's one mode. The other one is what is called depot charging, which is the bus is charged overnight usually, or for a longer period of time. And we need to sort that out. You know, we do have some opportunities in Honolulu. One of them would be to partner with HART and with rail. So a lot of our bus routes are going to change with rail, and they'll be focused on rail stations. So We've been talking to HART about how we can best prepare some of the rail stations so they could support charging and electrification of buses. One of the nice things about doing it that way is that we want to maximize the amount of time that we charge buses during the day. Why? Because we have all of that abundant solar radiation, solar power. And in our partnership with Hawaiian Electric, the utility tells us that we'll get our lowest rates during the daytime hours. And further, they'll be able to better meet their goals for trying to switch to 100% renewable electric infrastructure by allowing additional solar power on the rooftops and in their utility scale plants. So it's a win-win for both the utility and for transit in Honolulu.
Right. So for bus riders, they saw one type of bus a couple months ago. There's a new one on the road now. They'll be on the road for the next month and maybe a new one down the road as well this summer.
I think that probably the next time I'm sure that we will be looking at purchasing some buses after these tests are done. And to help, you know, we're again trying to learn what works best for us. We need to take some small steps at first, but we have a pretty aggressive schedule going forward.
That was a quick test drive on a new electric bus on the road. We were chatting with Roger Morton of Oahu Transit Services. He wants to know what you think of the ride and asks you to call the bus to share your thoughts, or you can go online and give feedback to customer service. That, again, that electric bus will be in service for about a month.